ive.org to download the files. Have a moment of quiet meditation, and for those who wish to join us in saying the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done.
Amen.
I assume that I am not alone this evening, but for the record, are there any other compulsive eaters at this meeting other than myself?
Oh yes, we're here. We're all out here.
Good. Yeah. Good. I'm not alone. Please use the meeting's chat function as a virtual WeCare book and enter your first name, phone number, times available for phone calls, and whether or not you are currently a sponsor in the HOW format. We will then add you to the WeCare book that is being circulated in the room. A copy of this list can be sent to you via email after the meeting. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and mutual support, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and carry this message of recovery to those who still suffer. Would someone please read What is HOW?
Hi, my name is Heidi. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hey, Heidi.
Hi, Heidi.
Hey, Heidi. Hi, Heidi. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm wondering what's in my background. Sorry, I think it's a picture of my mom. Sorry about that. I'll fix that. HOW is a movement within Overeaters Anonymous whose basic principle is that abstinence is the only means to freedom from compulsive overeating and the beginning of a spiritual life. Where and why did HOW begin? HOW began in Phoenix in 1981 as a means of reviving a group called OA Victorious. Its meeting format is taken from Roseanne's book, I Put My Hand in Yours, and centers around the concept of service. Many of the questions used in OA or in HOW sponsoring stem from OA Plus and Westminster groups. The outline of service came from the OA Suffolk County New York Sponsors Guide. Thank you.
Thanks Heidi. Mm-hmm. Would someone please read The Only Requirement? Kathy C., The Only Requirement.
I can do it. I have it right here.
Awesome. Thank you, Heidi.
Still Heidi, and change my background. Thank you. The Only Requirement. Yes. Overeaters Anonymous respects the autonomy of each OA group. We do suggest, however, that any group that has requirements in addition to the suggested 12 steps and 12 traditions inform its members that these requirements are what that particular group has found effective in working the program and do not represent OA as a whole. The members of this group have found the HOW concept to be effective in working the OA program. The opinions expressed here by those who share are their own and not necessarily those of OA. The Board of Trustees states, we understand the third tradition to mean that individual ways of working one's program should not exclude any compulsive overeater from attendance and participation at OA meetings anywhere, anytime. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Anyone who says he or she is a member is a member. We of Overeaters Anonymous welcome all members with open arms.
Thanks, Heidi.
Thanks, Heidi. Would someone please read the HOW concept?
Hi there. This is Alyssa, a compulsive overeater from Seattle. And
hey, Alyssa.
Hi, Alyssa. Welcome.
Okay. The Overeaters Anonymous How meetings have been formed to offer the compulsive overeater who accepts the 12 steps and 12 traditions as a program of recovery a disciplined and structured approach. How groups are formed in the belief that our disease is absolute and that only absolute acceptance of the OA program will offer any sustained abstinence to those of us whose compulsion has reached a critical level. Therefore, we accept the 9 tools of program and the 12 steps and the 12 traditions as necessary for our recovery. In OA How, our daily action plan is outlined in the structured use of each of the other tools. Our meetings are dedicated to the concept of remaining honest, open-minded, and willing to listen. This is the how of the program. We pray that the collective group conscience and love that these ideals offer us will promote a strong sense of security that will enable us to experience a new unity and wholeness with all those around us, and that the how ideals will help us to progress in our program of recovery on a daily basis. To be certain, much of our strength is found in the structure of meetings and in the daily adherence to the program as it is written in our literature. The Tuesday evening meeting also firmly understands that after our recovery has begun through abstinence and the taking of the first 3 steps, our further surrender to the additional steps of recovery offers us a promise of happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our lives. We ensure our continued and sustained abstinence from compulsive overeating by being forever aware that God is doing for us what we have never been able to do for ourselves. May God, as each of us understands him, open our minds and our hearts to the love which is manifested on this meeting. Amen.
Thanks, Alyssa.
Thanks, Alyssa.
Thanks, Alyssa. Would someone please read Reflections of the Newcomer?
Hello. This is Michelle C., compulsive overeater. Reflections for the newcomer.
Michelle, welcome.
Hi. welcome to OA How. We are all so glad you've decided to become a part of our program, a part of our fellowship, excuse me. We know that the How concept is a disciplined program. We believe that the discipline of weighing and measuring, of telephoning your sponsor at a particular time, of attending meetings and making phone calls, all lead to a life based on the universal discipline, which is accord rather than discord. Even with many things going on around us. Therefore, if there is a breakdown in any of these areas, the concept is threatened, as is the individual's abstinence. We have found that the discipline must remain as constant for the beginner as for the sponsor. If the newcomer shies away from this life's responsibility, the sponsor may give the newcomer's time slot to someone more committed to recovery. This is not a personal affront, but a matter of necessity. So many of us think that we should recover and in fact are not ready. If the newcomer should show lack of commitment, the sponsor may then offer the newcomer's assistance in finding a new sponsor. The rationale here is, if the newcomer insists on picking up the food before the phone, then there is a breakdown in the level of communication between the sponsor and the newcomer. Frothy emotional appeals seldom suffice. Doctor's Opinion, Big Book, Roman numeral 26, paragraph 2. If a sponsor slips, get a new one. The pitfalls of self-deception cannot be overstressed if we are to recover. Therefore, a sponsor in all self-honesty must release all sponsees to continue his own recovery. A sponsor cannot give what he does not experience. Finally, we must believe that we need each other. All problems that arise can be worked on via phone or person-to-person contact. Only positive, upbeat recovery belong in our meetings. A body badly burned by alcohol does not recover overnight. nor do twisted thinking and depression vanish in a twinkling. We are convinced that a spiritual mode of living is the most powerful restorative. From the Family Afterwards, Big Book, page 133, paragraph 2. Good luck. Everyone in the fellowship is praying that you find the release from the obsession so many of us have. God bless. And no matter what, keep coming back. We'll always be here for you. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you. You're welcome.
I'm Jane, compulsive overeater. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Would someone please read an excerpt from step 2 of the OA 12 and 12? Thanks for being on top of it, Jane.
A little too eager there. I'm Jane, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Jane. Welcome.
Hi, Jane. Excerpt from step 2 of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous, page 9 to 11. When we look with complete honesty at our lives, we see that where eating is concerned, we have acted in an extremely irrational and self-destructive manner. Under the compulsion to overeat, many of us have done things no sane person would think of doing. We have driven miles in the dead of night to satisfy a craving for food. We have eaten food that was frozen, burnt, stale, or even dangerously spoiled. We have eaten food off other people's plates, off the floor, off the ground. We have dug food out of the garbage and eaten it. We have frequently lied about what we have eaten, lied to others because we didn't want to face the truth ourselves. We have stolen food from our friends, family, and employers, as well as from the grocery store. We have also stolen money to buy food. We have eaten beyond the point of being full, beyond the point of being sick of eating. We have continued to overeat, knowing all the while we were disfiguring and maiming our bodies. We have isolated ourselves to eat, damaging our relationships and denying ourselves a full social life. For the sake of our compulsive eating, we have turned ourselves into objects of ridicule and have destroyed our health. Then, horrified by what we were doing to ourselves with food, we became obsessed with diets. We spent hundreds of dollars on weight loss schemes. We bought all sorts of appetite control drugs. We joined diet clubs and spas and had ourselves hypnotized and analyzed. We had major surgery on our digestive systems. We had our ears stapled or our jaws wired shut. All of this we did willingly, hoping we could someday have our cake and eat it too. Some of us went from doctor to doctor looking for a cure. The doctors gave us diets, but we had no better success with those than with other diets we'd been on. The doctor gave us shots and pills. Those worked for a while, but we inevitably lost control and overate again, putting back on the weight we had worked so hard to lose. Many of us tried fasting with and without a doctor's supervision. Usually we lost weight, but as soon as we started eating again, the compulsive eating behavior returned, along with the weight. Some of us learned to purge ourselves with vomiting, laxatives, or excessive exercise. We'd stuff food in our mouths until we were in physical pain, then we'd get rid of it. We damaged our digestive systems and our teeth while we starved our bodies of nutrients to live. Those of us who were overweight got plenty of advice from others about how to get to our ideal size, but nothing permanently solved our problem. We found that no matter what we did to ease our turmoil, our compulsive eating eventually returned. Over the long haul, our weight went up and our self-esteem went down. After a while, we became battle-weary and discouraged. Still, we could never accept our powerlessness. The prospect of being obese, sick, and out of control for the rest of our lives led some of us to conclude that life was simply not worth living. Many of us thought about suicide. Some of us tried it. Most of us, however, never reached suicidal desperation. Instead, we took comfort in a feeling that everything was all right as long as we got enough to eat. The only trouble was that as our compulsive eating progressed, it became harder for us to get enough. Instead of bringing comfort, the overeating backfired. The more we ate, the more we suffered, yet we continued to overeat. Our true insanity could be seen in the fact that we kept right on trying to find comfort in excess food long after it began to cause us misery. Thank you.
Thanks, Jane.
Thanks, Jane.
Would someone please read from chapter 5 of the book, Alcoholics Anonymous, How It Works?
Hi, this is Laura. I'm from Marquette, Michigan, and I am a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Laura. Hello. Welcome.
Welcome.
Thanks. Okay, chapter 5, How It Works. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those too who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing, willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these, we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power, that one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. This is from the AA book, pages 58. Pass.
Thanks, Laura.
Thanks, Laura. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Laura. Would someone please read the 12 steps of recovery?
Hello, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hey, hi. Tamara, welcome.
Hi, Tamara, welcome.
Thank you. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order! I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we've set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. That's from the Big Book, Chapter 5, page 60. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Tamara.
Thanks, Tamara. Thanks, Tamara.
Thanks, Tamara.
Okay. Would someone please read the 12 traditions of the program?
Yes, I will. My name is Heather. Can I be heard?
Hi, yes, Heather. Thank you.
Yes.
Hi, Heather.
Hi, Heather.
I'm a compulsive overeater and food addict. Hello, everyone. The 12 traditions. Tradition number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Tradition two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Tradition three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Tradition four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters of affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Tradition five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Tradition six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Tradition seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Tradition eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Tradition nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Tradition 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Tradition 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. Tradition 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these principles, these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks.
Thanks, Heather.
Thanks, Heather.
Thanks, Heather. The tools of recovery. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous are a program of recovery. Webster's Dictionary defines tool as any person or thing used to get something done. We have many tools of the program, which will help us to recover on a daily basis. Tools are essential to get the job done, and they work for us. In order for a tool to work, it must be used.
What?
Yeah, that's what it says here.
Really?
No.
So too with our tools of recovery. I will ask that house sponsors explain how they use a particular tool with a limit of 3 minutes for each tool. Would someone be willing to be the timekeeper?
I will. This is Heidi.
Hey, Heidi. Thank you.
Thanks, Heidi.
Participants will receive timing prompts via chat. Abstinence plan of eating.
Hi, everyone. Stacy M., compulsive eater and a food restrictor.
Hi, Stacy. Welcome.
Hi, Stacy. Welcome.
Thank you. I was trying to get it at eye level. okay. Plan of eating. A food plan is a commitment to recovery. The how disciplines were designed for food addicted people. We believe in a disciplined and structured approach. How abstainers do not modify their food plan to suit themselves and commit themselves to black and white abstinence. Deviations invite the return of many other problems. A food plan is not a personal thing in how. This means that we depend upon each other for the strength and growth that we need to remain abstinent. We join together in an effort to free the compulsive overeater from the bondage of food through the use of a food plan, positive thinking, and the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. We eat weighed and measured meals with nothing in between except sugar-free beverages and sugar-free gum. Food is written down, called into our sponsor, and committed so that we can get on with our recovery and out of the food. We also believe that negative thinking is a large part of our disease, so we abstain from negative thinking. Those of us who work the HOW program concepts use the following guidelines for food plans. Number one, we do not write our own food plan. We use a food plan given to us by a doctor, nutritionist, or dietitian. We discuss it with our sponsor. We do not pick one that allows any of our binge foods. If some food on our plan becomes a problem, we avoid it. 2, unless approved by a sponsor, we do not skip meals, switch meals, or combine meals. We do not deviate or manipulate our food plan in any way. If we need to change our committed food during the day, we call a sponsor. 3, we weigh and measure all our portions so that there is no guesswork. We do not measure by eye. We use a measuring cup, spoon, and a scale. And I'm going to verbally describe to you what I do with my abstinence kit. And because we're on video, I will kind of show it too. So the first part of the kit is the scale. I don't have a spring-loaded scale on hand. But I will tell you about a spring-loaded scale. And basically the spring-loaded scale does not require batteries. So it will work in places where sometimes batteries get thrown off. A lot of people keep a spring-loaded scale in their car. So that batteries aren't freezing in the winter here in Minnesota. Or melting, I suppose, in a hot climate. I use digital scales. I'm going to just show one here. This is a nice digital scale. It actually has a little pull-out that pulls out from under the plate. But what's nice about a digital... Oh, so I'm going back to the spring-loaded scale. Sorry. So when you use a spring-loaded scale, you know, it's going to have a little cup usually on top of it, and a dial on the back. And you want to make sure that the line is at 0 by using the dial before you start weighing your food. And then you put, you know, like for example, tonight I had 3 ounces venison and cheese for dinner. So I would put my venison in until the line got down to 3 and just split it right across on 3. Not a little above, not a little below, right through the middle. Similarly, with the digital scale, it's nicer because it's so clear, you know, it's digital. It tells you 3.0. There's no, is it on the line? Is it in the middle of the line? So I would do that same thing. I would put my plate on. I would hit the 0 button or tear. Sometimes it says to zero it out and then start building my meal on the plate. Again, the 3 ounces of venison and cheese. I also had 6 ounces of cooked veggies. And so in between each measurement, I zero it out. We also use, starting out, I used more measuring cups and spoons before I converted things to scale measurements. And so, like, for example, I'm pretty sure it was a half a cup of rice that I would get. So I would cook my rice. I would scoop it into my, something's coming up in front of my face. I can't see. Okay. I would scoop my rice into the cup, take a straight edge. You know, I usually packed it in as much as I could. Take a straight edge across the top to level it off. Everything in the cup is mine. Anything that stayed on the straight edge or maybe was down here around the edge, not mine. So I might just scrape that back into the Tupperware container or give it to my husband or whatever works. Similarly, we use spoons, measuring spoons. I believe I would get, for one fat, I would get a tablespoon of sour cream. So again, I would get the sour cream here in the, if you can see it, in the tablespoon measurement. Use my straight edge to level it off. Make sure it's full and even. Again, I only get what's on the inside of the spoon. The last tool I can't show you because you're on my phone, but is the phone. I think that's it. Some people use a liquid measuring cup too, which I could grab, but I won't use our time for milk or broth or that sort of thing. Again, that's the kind of thing you just want to be able to get down to eye level. And put in whatever your measurement is, if it's 8 ounces of milk, and then just make sure that it's right at 8 ounces in the cup. Okay, last tool is the phone. As I think I just read, we call our food into our sponsor each day, and then and commit it. And then if I need to make a change over the course of the day, I have to call my sponsor. And if I can't get her, I usually leave it on her voicemail. And then I call two other sponsors. If I still didn't get someone in person and it's a simple change, like my orange that I was going to have is rotten, I'm going to switch to banana, or I'm going to switch to apple or whatever. If it's simple like that, an exchange, I can just leave the message on that last sponsor and let it go. If it's something a little more complicated, like what can happen to me sometimes, is I'll make a mistake, you know, like right after my nutritionist recently made some changes to my daily plan, I used to have two fats at dinner, and there were a couple of times where I just, randomly measured two fats, right? Because I hadn't made the change psychologically, and it was a mistake, but I needed to talk to a sponsor when I realized I had done it. And so then I call my sponsor and I keep dialing until I get a live sponsor who can tell me what to do. Okay, I think that is it for the abstinence kit. Number four, we weigh ourselves once a month until we reach goal weight and once a week on maintenance. Five, unless advised otherwise by your doctor, we take a multivitamin and drink 64 ounces of water a day. Six, we do not drink alcohol. Seven, we do not use foods containing sugar, except if sugar is listed fifth or beyond on the ingredients label. Above all, we do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string bean that counts. It is the decision to take it. So I purposefully chose this tool this afternoon because, with all of this uncertainty and change that's been going on in our lives, and certainly in my life specifically, I have noticed in the last few weeks more mistakes. More like committing something and then, this is still a mistake too, but like not having it thought or, just kind of stuff like that was happening. And I realized that I really needed to shore up my program. And my sponsor very much supported that. She's like, yeah, feels like something's kind of just like shifted or gotten a little loosey. One of the things was that these changes that my nutritionist made, it happened fairly shortly before all this started. So I hadn't totally gotten used to some of the changes. But also I had gotten a little bit lax at like referring to my plan. I don't know about you guys, but I kind of eat a lot of the same stuff. I like to have variety from one day to the next, or I'll make enough for a couple of days, but then have something different. But so I sort of know what I'm eating, right? And I can remember what I'm eating. Only the big book tells us that our disease is centered in our mind, right? So if I'm relying on my mind to remember what I'm eating, there is the chance that my mind could trip me up. So a couple of things that I decided to do. First of all, I decided, because I've got this enormous, it's the same size as my head, bigger than my head, notebook that I've been using. I like it. I like kind of having a bigger notebook, but it's too big to have it open on my counter because I have kind of a smaller house, small kitchen. So that's part of why I had gotten a little lazy with the looking at it all the time. And so I made two commitments to my sponsor. One was I decided to go back to a former practice that I used to use where I had these little teeny sheets They're about a quarter of an 8.5, page. I need to tell you, I can't see chat. Oh, there's Heidi. Oh, shoot, Heidi. Okay, I'll bring it up. Sorry. And I started filling it in on this sheet so I could have it on the counter. And then just briefly, I check things off now. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thanks, Stacy.
Thanks, Stacy.
Sponsorship.
Okay. Can I be heard?
Yes,
I can hear. Hi,
welcome.
Hi, Heather. Welcome.
Hi, everybody. Good evening. I'm still Heather. I'm still a compulsive overeater and food addict. Sponsorship. Sponsorship. Sponsors are OA members who are committed to abstinence and to living the 12 steps and 12 traditions to the best of their ability. We ask a sponsor to guide us through our program of recovery on all three levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual. In working with other members of OA and sharing their experience, strength, and hope, sponsors continually renew and reaffirm their own sobriety. Sponsors share their program up to the level of their own experience. Ours is a program of attraction. Find a sponsor who has what you want and ask how it was achieved. A member may work with more than one sponsor and may change sponsors at will. A HAL sponsor is a compulsive overeater who has completed at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence and who has taken the first three steps of the program. Sponsors have also completed at least 70 days of assignments. Reflections to the sponsor, suggestions for discussion. No list of reflections and meditations are end-alls and be-alls for the newcomer. A sponsor must be attentive not only to what the new person is saying, but also to what the newcomer is not saying. There are many newcomers who are reticent to purchase books and who are hesitant to throw themselves headlong into the program. Therefore, we have a list of pre-commitment assignments. Above all, do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HAL program. It is not the extra stirring bean that is the problem. It is the decision to have it that results in some trouble. The HAL concept is an alternative for people who have tried everything else. Therefore, the program is an immutable triumvirate of tools, steps, and traditions. Using the tools of weighing and measuring our food, sponsors, meetings, phone calls, reading and writing, service, and anonymity, we follow the 12 steps and 12 traditions of OA in order to free ourselves from the bondage of food addiction. Sponsors do not have the right to play God. We help each other. Okay, I'm not very good at timing, so I'm going to set a timer for myself as well for 3 minutes. But I've grown to love all of these tools very much. When I first started, I came in the program in August of 2019, but when I started, the phone weighed 500 pounds, and I thought, well, why do I need to call someone early, call a sponsor? But I'll never forget how, and this particularly for newcomers, the first meeting I called into, I didn't know what was going on, and I listened, and I spoke up, and I got a call later that day from a fellow, and she said, well, Heather, what do you do? And I was explaining what I did, and she said, no, you need a sponsor. You need a sponsor immediately. And I said, well, how do I do that? This was a phone meeting, by the way. I said, there's no face-to-face meetings where I am, and I can't see anybody, and what are you talking about? And the fellow said, well, who led you here? And I said, I don't know. I made a phone call. And the fellow said, no, I'll tell you what happened. God led you here, and God will take you to the right sponsor that you need. And that fellow was so right. I don't know how it happened, but within 48 hours, I had a sponsor, and here we are. But my sponsor and I think very, very differently, but I'm so grateful for my sponsor, because it's like the reading says, my sponsor pays attention to what I'm saying, but also to what I'm not saying. And I've had the honor of temping a few people, and I feel like I probably benefit so much more than those whom I'm helping or giving service to. And to have 15 minutes of someone's time every day just to listen, of whatever comes out of this, right? It's such a treasure that not everybody has, and someone to hold me accountable. I need that accountability, because I've learned many things in this program, but one of them is boundaries are love, and love is boundaries.
Boundaries are not restrictive. They are actually freedom. And one of a part of boundaries is being held accountable for them, because what's the good of knowing a fence is there if there's no fence there? Does that make sense? For example, what's the point of being accountable if I'm not accountable to an actual other human? And I'm so grateful for all sponsors for many, many reasons. And when I have an oops during the day, I can call a sponsor and talk out, because we don't make any unilateral decisions with food. Because, right, this is a dangerous thing. So talking it out with other sponsors is, it's such a gift, such a great tool. And with that, I will pass. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thanks, Heather.
Thanks, Heather.
Thanks, Heather.
Well, all sponsors, how in OA, please join me in sharing the following. One, how long in OA and how? Two, how long abstinent in OA or how? Three, how much weight lost or gained? This is not a time for sharing for sponsors. Please keep it brief and no applauding between sponsors. If they wish, sponsors can announce that they have an opening for a sponsee and provide their phone numbers. Sponsors are invited to share by clicking the raise hand button and turning on your video camera, or just turning on your video. When it is your turn to share, you will hear your name and see a "you are unmuted by host" screen prompt. Following your share, please turn off your video as the meeting moderator remutes the line. Sponsors joining us on the phone, please wait for a pause in the line and press star and six on your telephone keypad.
Revitel.
Hi there. I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and food addict. My name is Revitel, and I'm a sponsor in the two-hour OA How format. I was introduced to the OA rooms in 2004, failed to maintain any form of abstinence, and in 2017, I was introduced to the two-hour OA How format, where I immediately became abstinent and continue to be abstinent by the grace of God and the power of this program. My body has released approximately 100 pounds, and really grateful to be here tonight. Thanks for letting me share.
Megan.
Hey all, it's Megan in Virginia. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm an OA House sponsor. My back-to-back abstinence date is June 8th of 2015. I've given away 85 to 90 pounds in program twice. I'm a relapse survivor, and I've had an abstinent pregnancy. Thank you, I pass.
Lisa.
Hi, I'm Lisa J. I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and a two-hour How sponsor, and I started in two-hour How in October of 2015. My recommitted abstinence date is January 6th, I think, a little more than 60 days ago, and I am maintaining a weight loss of 75-plus pounds. Thank you, pass.
Heather?
Oh, hi, I'm Heather. I'm a compulsive overeater and food addict. I came in program in August 2019. My latest recommitment date is December 23rd, 2019. I'm on maintenance. I'm 35 pounds down from my top weight, almost 30 pounds up from my low weight. I'm available for temp sponsoring if you would like. I'm in Central Standard Time. My phone number is 713-416-3800. Thanks.
Caroline.
Hi, all. I'm Caroline, compulsive eater and bulimic in Columbus, Ohio. I came into OA How 14 years ago this very month. I'm very grateful. My back-to-back abstinence recommitted is September 6th of 2016. By the grace of God and the power of this fellowship, I'm maintaining a 40-pound weight loss and free from binge purging for more than 13 years. Again, Caroline in Columbus, Ohio.
Heidi.
Hi, my name is Heidi. I'm a compulsive overeater. I came directly into OA How in October 2007. I lost 150 pounds and kept it off for about 7 years. And then I chose to leave the program, and I quickly gained back 110. My most recent abstinence date is, or my recommitment date is July 26, 2019. Thank you.
Jane.
Hi everyone, I'm Jane, compulsive overeater. I came into regular OA, 9 years ago, and had some abstinence in that program, but by the summer of last year, I was struggling, and so my abstinent date in HOW is September 19th, 2019. I have released about 14 pounds, and I am a sponsor. I have no openings, but I can temp sponsor anytime. And my number is 250-913-0319, and I'm up in Canada, just so you know. Thanks.
Chris.
Hi, my name's Chris. I'm a compulsive overeater. I've been messing around in OA and OA HOW since February of 1994. My current abstinence is July 13th of 2019. I've been continuously abstinent since then. Let go of 40 pounds so far. I'm about 12 pounds from goal weight. I'm available to sponsor men. My number is 504-352-2044. Thank you.
Ibodo.
Give me a kiss today.
Hey, what happened? I got off. Come here.
Stacy.
Hi everyone, Stacy. I'm a compulsive eater and a food restrictor. I came directly to HOW in November of 2010. My current abstinence dates from June 24th or 2nd. Hang on, I'm having a moment. 2013, and I am maintaining about a 25-pound weight loss, which is about 50 down from my top weight. Thanks.
Tamara.
Hello, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater. I came into traditional OA in January of 2016. Heard about the HOW program, became abstinent April 3rd of 2017. Because of the miracles of this program, I've been relieved of 97 pounds from my top weight, with over 75 pounds lost in the HOW program. My recommitment date is December 1st of 2019, and I pass. Thank you.
Christopher.
Hi, I'm Chris Yopolsky, grateful compulsive overeater, grateful to be on this meeting. I entered HOW in 2005 of January, and my black and white abstinence date is July 26th, 2007, and by the grace of God through this program, have maintained 123-pound weight loss. And I have no openings at this time. Thank you.
Rosemary.
I'm having trouble, I guess, with my...
Go ahead. Laura.
Hi, my name's Laura. I'm a compulsive overeater from Marquette, Michigan. I received the gift of abstinence in the OA HOW 2-hour rooms on May 23rd, 2005, maintaining a 60-pound weight loss, and I pass. Thank you.
Elizabeth.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth R., Friday night HOW person here in Minneapolis, St. Paul, that is. I have been maintaining a 50-pound weight loss since my most recent abstinence date was December 13, 2019. And I first started in HOW in Thanksgiving of 2016. And I'm grateful every day. And I do not have any openings right now for a sponsee.
Rosemary, let's try it again. Lewis.
Compulsive over food. My name is Lewis from Bethesda, Maryland. I came into OA HAL in March 2006, did a lot of research, and my back-to-back abstinence state is January 3rd of last year. I'm 80 pounds down from my top weight, and that's it. Thank you.
Nancy. Can't hear you. Kirsten. Patty. Amy D. Or Amy P. Kirsten.
Hi, I'm Kirsten P., a compulsive overeater. My abstinence date is June 18th, 2001, and I'm maintaining a 60-pound weight loss, and I'm in Minnesota.
Kelly.
Hi, I'm Kelly, compulsive overeater from California. I came to HAL in October of 2018. My back-to-back date is February 27, 2019, and I'm maintaining an 80-pound weight loss. I don't have any sponsee openings at the time, but welcome hookup calls, and I'll leave my number in the chat. Pass.
Amy?
Hi, this is Amy P. in Baltimore, Maryland. I'm an OA HAL two-hour format sponsor. My introduction to OA HAL began, I think, 2008. My back-to-back weighing and measuring started in 2011, January 2nd, 2011, but I've recommitted my back-to-back abstinence date as of September 30th of 2019. And I'm down approximately 110 pounds. Amy P. in Maryland.
Anyone else?
This is Debbie. I am a compulsive overeater and a two-hour HAL sponsor. My recommitment date is October 12th, 2018, and I am down over 100 pounds, and I pass.
Hi. Hi, this is Abby in Maryland, grateful compulsive eater. Came into OA and Overeaters Anonymous in the late 80s. Came to HAL in the 90s, left, regained all my weight and more. I've been back in the HAL, working the HAL concept since the summer of 2014. And my current OA HAL abstinence is January 20th of 2019. I can take temporary sponsors. My number is 240-988-5394, and I'm in Maryland, so Eastern Standard Time. You're welcome to text me first as well. Thank you.
This is Julie B. I'm a compulsive overeater. I started HAL in June 2013. I've been relieved of around 50 pounds. My renewed abstinence date is January 2020. Pass.
Hi, this is Patty from Ohio. I am a two-hour OA HAL sponsor. I came into regular OA in November 2011. Wasn't able to maintain any discipline with the program, and I found HAL in January 2019. January 3rd, 2019 is my abstinent date, and I have I have lost a total of 95 pounds in both programs. I do have an opening for a sponsee at 6:45 Eastern Standard Time, and my phone number is 440-749-1890. 440-749-1890. And I pass.
Mary. Go ahead, Mary.
This is Mary G., a compulsive overeater in St. Paul. Came to OA in the spring of 2004 in Western Mass. We moved to St. Paul in October of 2012. My first meeting was on Halloween. Became abstinent the next day, and I've lost and maintained 75 pounds.
Dario.
Hello, my name is Daria, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I first came to OA HAL in May 2014. My abstinence day is 28th of February 2017. I've lost 113 pounds so far, and I'm free of panic and anxiety attacks. Pass.
That's it, Sheila.
And I am Sheila, a critical level compulsive overeater from Minnesota. I came directly into OA HAL in May of 2015. My abstinence date is May 19th of 2015, and I have been relieved of over 90 pounds. Clay feet. We should remember that all OAs have clay feet. We should not set any member upon a pedestal and mark her or him out as the perfect OA. It is not fair to the person to be singled out in this fashion, and if the person is wise, she or he will not wish it. If the person we single out as an ideal OA has a fall, we are in danger of falling too. Without exception, we are only one bite away from a binge. No matter how long we have been in OA or how, nobody is entirely safe. OA itself should be our ideal, not any particular member of it. Anonymity.
Hey all, this is Megan in Virginia, and this is Anonymity. Anonymity is a
hey, Megan.
Welcome. Hey, thank you.
Hey, wait, Megan, welcome.
Anonymity is a tool as well as a tradition because it guarantees that we will place principles before personalities. It offers each of us freedom of expression and protection against gossip. Anonymity assures us that only we as individual OA members have the right to make our membership known within our community. Anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication means that we will never allow our faces or our last names to be used once we identify ourselves. Sorry, that's the one. Once we identify ourselves as OA members within the fellowship. Anonymity means that whatever we share with another OA member will be held in respect and confidence. What we hear at meetings should remain there. It should be understood, however, that anonymity must not be used to limit our effectiveness in the fellowship. It is not a break of anonymity to give our names and addresses to the secretary of our group or to other service offices of OA for names and address for the purpose of conducting OA business, which is primarily 12-step work. It is likewise not a break of anonymity to enlist 12-step help for group members in trouble, provided we are careful to omit specific personal information. If their disease has reactivated and we persist in protecting their anonymity, we may, in effect, help to kill them and their anonymity. Anonymity is part of the program that allows each of us to stand in front of our fellows and share for the first time, honestly, who we are, where we have been, and where we hope to go, without fear that our story will be told outside these rooms. For many of us, the OA rooms are the first place where we have no fear of being judged or criticized. We are accepted as we are at that moment. This is the first time for most of us that we experience sharing where we are not told what we did wrong. We come into OA at rock bottom, mangled emotionally, physically, and spiritually. We are supported back to health with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. We are encouraged to speak of our pain, and we are lovingly told your secrets are safe. Come share our recovery on a threefold level, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Lastly, a word to newcomers, please join us. However, if you decide that our program is not for you, please remember that our anonymity allows us to grow and recover from a very serious disease. Whom you see here, what you hear here. When you leave here, let it stay here.
Here.
Thank y'all for being out there. So anonymity, we always say, is the spiritual principle behind this program. And one of the things I truly appreciate about anonymity is that it does really give me a safe space that I can come to a meeting, or I can have a conversation with my sponsor or another fellow, and I can really put out there what's going on with me. I tend to be a very private and reserved person in my face-to-face life. And I have a really firmly fixed filter, you know, like I just don't, you know, put everything out there with a lot of people, and I never have. So when I came into this program and it gave me this safe space to really get honest with people about what I was avoiding with the food, what I was running away from with the food, and, you know, what was eating me and what I was eating over, I guess. And anonymity allows me to have that safe space. Anonymity is also really important for us because it's a tool of ego reduction. This program is a program of eating reduction. You'll hear people say, like, I'm just another bozo on the bus, or I'm just one among many. We don't have superstars in this program. We have people that maybe have been around longer or who are maybe more recognizable because of the amount of service they might do, but we don't have people who are the ones, you know. We don't share our sponsors, so we don't like name drop, you know, well, I've had this sponsor forever, you know. No, we don't do that. We each are recovering on a 24-hour a day basis. None of us is better than the other. I am here to receive recovery and to pass on what I have been so generously been given. And it's a really even playing field. There's a real sense of unity, and I think the word I'm looking for is egalitarianism, you know, where we are all equal. And that's makes it so we all have that safe space to come to. We don't give advice. We don't do the, most don't do the, you know, you have to do it this way. It's, I share with you what's worked for me. You share with me what's worked for you. And together we have the we of the program that helps us all walk one day at a time for a 24-hour day period towards recovery. And with that, I pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Megan.
Thanks, Megan. Telephone calls.
I think that's me, Jane, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Jane. Welcome.
Hi, Jane.
Hello. Telephone. Compulsive overeating is a disease of isolation. The telephone is a means of communicating with other compulsive overeaters between meetings. With another compulsive overeater between meetings. It provides an immediate outlet for those hard-to-handle highs and lows we all experience. The telephone is also a daily link to our sponsors, and as part of the surrender process, is a tool by which we learn to ask for help, reach out, and extend that same help to others.
In HOW, we are asked to make at least 4 telephone calls a day, 1 to our sponsor and 3 or more to other OA members. These calls give us an opportunity to talk program on a daily basis. The telephone is our lifeline. So when I was in regular OA, I remember there was a saying that the telephone was a bit like a 500-pound elephant or something like that. It was very difficult to pick up, and I rarely ever called anyone, and I never got calls. And I would encourage people to call me when they had a problem, but I, of course, never followed my own advice. These days, especially with what's going on in the world, the calls have been a real lifeline for me. So I start my day every day with my sponsor call and 2 sponsee calls. And so that's 45 minutes of recovery before I've even done anything in the day. And it's providing me some structure that I love. And I couldn't do that on willpower alone. I need to have this program that requires things of me to do daily. And the phones are that. The phone calls are that. And I find I was very resistant to coming into HOW because of all of the expectations of the program, and the telephone calls were one, just because of my lack of desire to use my phone as a phone. And I think that the telephone calls have become for me an opportunity to show my willingness to do the program. So I think the earlier I do my calls, it shows stronger willingness than perhaps on the days when I realize it's 10 p.m. and I still haven't done my calls, and I live on the Pacific Coast, and so lots of people are already sleeping. But I still, you know, even though I'm resistant to the calls still, as soon as I'm on the call or after I hang up, I feel so much better. And it really is nutritional, like nurturing to me to connect with other people. I'm a reluctant extrovert. I thought forever I was an introvert and I don't need people and I'm just fine on my own, self-reliant. And the phone calls have shown me that not only do I really get a lot out of talking to other people, but I also have something to give. So it's been a really lovely experience to have the calls and to have people who need my calls as well as I need them. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Jane.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jane. Meetings.
Carlos over food. My name is Lewis from Maryland.
Hey, Lewis.
Hi, Lewis.
Hey,
Lewis. Welcome.
Meetings. Meetings are gatherings of 2 or more compulsive eaters who come together to share their experience before and after recovery and to share the strength and hope OA has given them. Meetings are an opportunity for us to identify and confirm our common problem by relating to one another and by sharing the gifts we receive through this program. We find that being on time for meetings enhances our recovery and provides service to the meeting. Though there are many kinds of meetings, fellowship is the basis of them all. As HOW members, we attend at least 1 meeting a week. So so for me, meetings are vital. How I got 12-stepped into OA HOW was I knew somebody that I hadn't seen in a number of years, and she came over and she was glowing. And I said, well, what do you got? And she said, well, I do OA HOW. And so she took me to a meeting and completely transformed my life. And I'm learning that the thing that's so important about meetings is that they show me how it is to act abstinently, how to have emotional abstinence, what abstinence truly means. Because you get, first of all of the literature that we read in the beginning of the meetings, describe the program, describe the tools, describe the steps, and then we sit and listen to each other. We share honestly, a lot of services performed at the meetings. There's a seventh step, we're self-supporting through our own contributions. So all of these types of behaviors that we have in meetings are behaviors that I need to be doing outside of the meeting and to in the real world. I have a part of my ism is that I have poor memory. And so I need to be going to meetings on a regular basis to be reminded of what it is to be a recovering compulsive overeater. So with that, that's it.
Thanks, Lewis.
Thank you.
Literature and writing.
Hi, my name is Debbie. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Debbie. Hi, Debbie.
Welcome.
Literature. We study the textbook, Alcoholics Anonymous, referred to as the Big Book, and the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, another AA book, to reinforce our program. By substituting the words food and compulsive eating for the words alcohol and alcoholism, we can identify closely. We also read OA literature, the OA book, Overeaters Anonymous, referred to as the Brown Book, the OA 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, For Today for Daily Meditation, and Lifeline, our Journal of Recovery. Read on a daily basis, our literature impresses on us certain basic truths that we have found vital to our growth. Our literature and the AA books are an ever-available tool that gives insight into our problem, as well as the strength to deal with it, and the very real hope that there is a solution for us. Writing. In addition to our writing our inventories and the list of people we have harmed, most of us have found that writing has been an indispensable tool for working the steps. Further, putting our thoughts and feelings down on paper or describing a troubling incident helps us to better understand our actions and reactions in a way that is often not revealed to us by simply thinking or talking about them. In the past, compulsive eating was our most common reaction to life. When we put our difficulties down on paper, it becomes easier to see situations more clearly and perhaps better discern any necessary action. So every day I do a reading. I read out of one of the books. Right now I am using the meditation books for today. And I read out of it, and then something inevitably kind of jumps out at me, and that's what I write about. And as I'm writing, I just freehand and write, and what it might not come up to me right then immediately. Sometimes it's when I'm reading it later, when I'm reading it out loud to my sponsor, either later that day or early the next morning, I'll be like, oh, wow. I didn't realize that I was even thinking about that at the time. So it really does help me to learn about what's going on with myself. It helps me kind of get things out of my head and more onto a piece of paper. And it's like, once my thoughts are out of my head, then it's easier for me to let go of them. You know, I don't obsess about them any longer. I can just get rid of it and let go. Or if it's something that I need to, a character defect that I'm working on and something I need to work a little bit harder on, sometimes I'll find ways through what I'm reading and also then writing about that will help me to, change the way I'm reacting or responding to different situations. So the reading and writing have been extremely valuable to me in my program over the years. And I really, there was a time in my life when I didn't so much like it. And sometimes now, I've gotten so I don't reread what I've written until I'm reading it to my sponsor, because I don't want to cringe, right? So, because, you know, it gets really deep, it gets really personal, but that's how I grow, you know, bringing this stuff out of me and into the light. So thanks for being there tonight, and I will pass.
Thanks, Debbie.
Thank you, Debbie. Service.
Hey, this is Lisa. I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater in Portland, Oregon. And
hey, Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. Welcome.
Hi. So let's see here. Carrying the message to the compulsive overeater. Wait a minute. Yeah, that's right. The compulsive overeater who still suffers is the basic purpose of our fellowship and therefore the most fundamental form of service. Any service, no matter how small, that will help reach a fellow sufferer adds to the quality of our own recovery. Putting away chairs, making coffee, talking to newcomers, doing whatever needs to be done in a group or for OA as a whole are ways in which we give back what we have so generously been given. Do what you can when you can. A life of sane and happy usefulness is what we are promised as the result of working the 12 steps. Service fulfills that promise. Always to extend the hand and heart of OA to all who share my compulsion. For this, I am responsible. And, you know, in the beginning, when we're talking about what OA How is, we say that this program is based on the concept of service. And what I found in doing service is that it used to be that when I took on a responsibility before program, I thought that meant that I was in charge and that I got to boss people around and I knew the best way to do things. And that's embarrassing to say, but that is what is true. And so doing service in program has given me an opportunity to approach it with humility. This whole idea of being a trusted servant is something that's unique to 12-step programs. I think that service connects me to the program. It makes me know that I'm a part of this program. And I was always the kind of person that didn't, you know, want to belong to any group that would have me. I just always felt like an outsider everywhere. I wasn't quite this enough or that enough. And I brought that into almost every situation. So in OA, how doing service helps me connect to be a part of the group. And I started in a place where there were face-to-face meetings and I moved away from that place and did phone meetings. And now we've got the incredible blessing of these Zoom meetings. And these are providing some, I think, new opportunities for service, learning how to be a co-host or on Zoom and reaching out in different kinds of ways, because we can't stop after the meeting and shake the hand of the newcomer because they're not necessarily right next to us. But you know, we do service every time we stay abstinent. We do service every time we call somebody. We do service every time we answer a phone call. And it all connects us in this really important way, I think. So that's all I have to say about service today. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thanks, Debbie. Thanks, Lisa.
Thanks, Lisa. Thanks, Lisa. Thanks, Lisa.
Will all people doing service for OA at any level please stand and applaud service?
Woo-hoo!
Yay! Service!
All right, service. Woo-hoo! Yay.
The Minnesota OA How Live meeting is a friendly place, and we want to get to know each other. If you are attending for the first time, please turn on your or press star and 6 on your telephone's keypad. Do we have anyone that's joining us for the first time tonight that would like to introduce themselves?
Yeah, hi, my name's Alex. I'm a compulsive overeater and from the Gold Coast in Australia.
Hey, Alex.
Welcome.
Hi, my name is Laura Lynn. I'm from Washington State. I also just joined about 30 seconds ago, so I missed the first 20 minutes because I just got the Zoom info. But this is my fifth meeting in general and my first time to this one. Thank you.
Thanks, Laura.
Hi, Laura Lynn.
Welcome.
Anyone else joining this meeting for the first time or a newcomer altogether? Turn on your video or press star and six on your telephone. Okay, well, welcome everyone. May we please have...
Maybe a Patty.
Oh, hi. I'm learning this Zoom. My name is Patty. This is my first time on this meeting, my home meeting, Sunday, 6 o'clock. And it's nice to be with everybody. And I pass.
Welcome Patty.
Welcome, Patty.
Anyone else before I proceed? Okay. May we please have a treasurer's report?
Hi, my name's Heidi. I'm a compulsive overeater and the treasurer for this meeting, and we collected $30 minus PayPal fees last week. Thank you.
Thank you, Heidi. Our seventh tradition helps this meeting provide the equipment, enhance our website, make it accessible to individuals who are deaf or anyone using ASL, refine energy, develop other live OA face-to-face groups, and more. Please go to mhowlie.org to donate. And I'm going to read the promises. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. The feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook of life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not.
They
are being fulfilled among us. Yes, we think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. And that is from the big book, pages 83 to 84. Are there any announcements? Maybe I'll go ahead. I do have a couple of announcements. I'm Sheila, still a compulsive overeater. So first of all, just a reminder, and I think most of you all remembered that we do have the new meeting time, which started tonight, which is the new meeting time is at 6 o'clock p.m. Central Time, 7 Eastern, and that will be 4 p.m. Pacific Time. And that will be the meeting time going forward. So it wasn't just for this week or for next week. It's from today going forward, we will be starting at 6 p.m. Central or 7 p.m. Eastern. And then I know as part of the email that went out, there was reference to needing a password to get into the meeting. Since you're all here, I am assuming that everyone got in just fine. And then last, just want to remind everyone that on our Unity Intergroup website, there's a couple of resources that I just want to refer you to. In case you have extra time with being at home rather than being out and about, there is our monthly newsletter, which is out on the overeaters.org website. There's a lot of great articles in that newsletter, and would encourage you to go out to that website and look at our newsletter. And then also, the recordings from our October 2019 convention that took place in Minnesota are also out on the overeaters.org website. And those recordings have been marked down to just $5. So check out those resources. Again, it's on the Unity Intergroup website, and that website is overeaters.org. Are there any other announcements? Okay, not tonight. Literature and books. Newcomer and sponsor materials are located at the virtual intergroups resource page at www.oaphonemeetings.com. You can purchase OA books and pamphlets at bookstore.oa.org. It is now time for medallions. At HAL meetings, we recognize the milestones of recovery for those working the HAL program. All other OA abstinence is given a round of applause. Anyone may request a medallion by turning on your camera and unmuting your phone. So if we were at the in our regular face-to-face meeting, we would actually have a box that would have a whole bunch of medallions in it, and we like to shake it because it makes lots of noise, and that's it's positive noise because it means we are celebrating. And in OA HAL, we love to celebrate. As we know, we work this program one day at a time, but we do like to celebrate those bigger milestones of recovery, of abstinence. And so tonight, I'd like to ask, is there anyone that is celebrating 10 or more years of back-to-back abstinence? No. How about five or more years of back-to-back abstinence? 4 years? 3 years? 2 years? Well, I hope there's people out there. How about 18 months, 1.5 years of back-to-back abstinence? 12 months, 1 year? 9 months? 6 months? 3 months, 90 days. Anyone celebrating 90 days? About 60 days, 2 months of back-to-back abstinence.
Hi, this is Lisa J. in Portland, and I'm celebrating 62 days of recommitted abstinence.
Yay!
Ooh, yay! Lisa. Congratulations, Lisa!
Way to go, way to go.
And Lisa, here's just a pretend 60-day medallion for you, sending it virtually your way. What about 30 days? 30 days, that's a big one. 30 days of back-to-back abstinence. Not tonight. And then finally, one of the most exciting medallions that we have, which is available for anyone. It is, we like to sometimes refer to it as a chip of desire. It just means that you may have heard something at this meeting tonight that has intrigued you. It may mean that you may just want to make a change in how you handle your food. It is also available to anyone who might be maybe struggling in their program right now, or just even struggling with something else that you just want to have a little extra boost to your program. And so I'd like to offer anyone out there a 24-hour medallion, or also what we were sometimes referred to as the chip of desire. Can I offer anyone a 24-hour medallion tonight?
Cheryl, can you hear me?
Yes, Cheryl, we can hear you.
Yes. I've been in the program off and on for years. For health reasons, I had to go off my food plan for a new food plan in November and just got permission to go back on my old food plan. Very grateful. So I'd like today to be my recommit day, even though I've kept off 120 pounds since 2016. It means a lot to me to be able to go back on.
Oh, congratulations, Cheryl.
Yay,
that's
Cheryl.
Awesome.
Congratulations. Way to go. Way to go.
And if I had a 24-hour medallion with me, if we were actually in the room, we would actually take and pass that 24-hour medallion around in the room. We would all put good wishes on it, and we would actually send it in the mail to you. But we don't have, so I'll just send you a little virtual one. I'll just virtually send it your way.
Means a great deal to me. Thank you.
You're welcome, Cheryl. Can I offer anyone else a 24-hour medallion? Any newcomers out there that might like a 24-hour medallion? Okay, not tonight. Keep coming back.
We have Cindy out there.
Oh, Cindy.
Cindy, can't seem to hear her, but looks like she wants a medallion.
Awesome.
Congratulations, Cindy. Woohoo!
Yes, congratulations, Cindy.
All right, Cindy. Way to go.
Okay, step-ups. At this point in our meeting, we ask the group to join us as we celebrate another example of the miracles that abound in OA. The stepping up portion of the meeting asks the sponsor to introduce a newcomer who has at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence, who has completed the first three steps of the program, and who is now ready to become a sponsor. At HOW meetings, new sponsors are presented with a cactus plant to signify the tough love of the program. Stick with the stickers, remember to drink your water, and a reminder that we don't water down the program. Are there any step-ups tonight?
Not tonight.
Not tonight.
I don't think we have any tonight, but keep coming back. Anniversaries. Birthdays are celebrated for each year of continuous abstinence. At anniversaries, a candle is lit at the beginning of the meeting. We invite the person who is celebrating an anniversary to turn on their video for the anniversary reading. Are there any anniversaries?
Not tonight.
Pretty soon.
Not tonight. We have one coming up.
Keep coming back.
Keep coming back, and we get to celebrate again. So attendees may sign up to celebrate your step-ups or anniversaries via the link on our website. And the leader now qualifies for 10 minutes. However, we probably don't probably only have 1 minute, so maybe we'll just jump right into the speaker this evening. So I would like to introduce, I believe our speaker tonight is Anne. Is that correct?
Amy,
close. That was an A. Okay, I'd like to introduce our guest speaker, who qualifies for 20 minutes.
Hi, thank you.
Hi, Amy, welcome.
Hi. Welcome, Amy.
Yay. Welcome, Amy. Welcome. Thank you.
Oh, you guys are going to make me cry. I am a phone meeting. I'm Amy in Maryland, a two-hour OA HOW sponsor. I am generally a phone meeting attendee, so this is new for me. I'm remembering to look at my camera as I was instructed, but it's been wonderful. Seeing your faces, getting to see some special things in your that happen, hugs and kisses. I'm really happy to be here, and I'll just be honest, because that's what we do. I am a little bit nervous because I'm on camera now, and I have my notes, which is what I usually bring with me. Well, sometimes I vamp, but freelance. But for tonight, because it's a different platform for me, I decided to print out my notes. I'm 5'8", 145 pounds. 15 years ago, if you would have told me that, I would have said, that's awesome. What diet club do I have to join? Or that's awesome. What did Oprah tell me to do? Or something else that I would have tried in the past. I tried, just like most of us out there, every single fad diet that came out, every book that was written by some whatever celebrity, magazines, you know, whatever did. And I was seriously considering gastric bypass when I came into program, and I reluctantly came back into OA after having, I'm trying to use kinder words, but instead of flunked out before, but I just struggled. I struggled in regular OA. It wasn't the place for me. So I was born an overeater. I came into a family that was full of dysfunction and continues to be to this day. Just because I change doesn't mean they change. I have to put my glasses on. And there was just a lot of trauma going on in the childhood, but one thing that wasn't traumatic was the eating. At mealtimes, things were quiet. Things were, people weren't fighting. My parents weren't screaming and yelling at each other, and it was just a safe place to be. So was that why my food association came from? I don't know, and I'm not gonna know. I just know that I can remember from a very early age that the food was used as a tool for me to be happy, to be calm, to be anything, any emotion that was popped up. That's what I did. My parents struggled to be adults as well. So it was hard. It's hard to be parented by people who were emotionally stunted in growth. And so I didn't have people skills. I feel like I wasn't shown people skills. I feel like I didn't have, my mom was also kind of a hoarder. She was definitely a messy Marvin. She did have the cleanest house as a hoarder. She would clean with disinfect. It was just a tough childhood for me with growing up, but I did the best I could, and gratefully there were many strengths that I had that I ended up using as a tool for to get by emotions, to get by, you know, in life. It turns out I was bright. I was musically inclined. I was athletic, and these things certainly helped in my life. And I got kudos in school and in all of those different areas. And so I did have, you know, in different areas, I did have people patting me on the back. But anyway, moving on. Of the four kids in the house, I was the only one that had an eating issue. You're big boned, Amy. You need to stop eating, Amy. You, when you're hungry, this is your stomach's way of shrinking. You know, all these different things that people, the other family members tried to tell me. I was third in line with boy, boy, girl, girl. And I think of myself as a fat kid. I was made fun of as early as third grade, I guess. And when I look back at myself, I was chunky. I was heavy as a kid, but I wasn't, it wasn't the end of the world. It was always, much worse in my head than it actually was. But that, I think that's just a testament to how hard we are on ourselves. There was always a lot of shame around it though. And that's just something that I still to this day, to work on with myself with that. The more I tried to control my eating, the harder it got. I think by the age of 10 years old, I knew at 10, I didn't know what OA was. I didn't even know it existed, but I knew by 10 years old, I was having a mental battle with this piece of food that was in the kitchen. My family was in watching TV and I was by myself, you know, trying my hardest not to eat this food. And I couldn't understand why food, something that didn't have a brain, inanimate object. This is my story. I tell this part all the time because I remember it like it was yesterday. I could remember at the age of 10 why this food had so much control over me. And little did I know how accurate I was or how I didn't know OA existed, and I didn't know I would be here one day, but I didn't know there was a solution that I was missing at the age of 10, but it was there waiting for me. So, but it just boggles my mind at that age that I could get that. I did the typical things as a kid. I stole food. From neighbors, you know, if they made fresh cookies, I stole it from my parents' house, and I tried to make it look like I didn't eat anything like that, but it was very typical. By high school, I had slimmed down naturally, not by anything that I had done, but I had slimmed down. So, I mean, my full height is 5'8". My weight was kind of, it went up and down in high school. So at probably at max, I was probably 165. The least I weighed was around 125. That was because I was in a car accident. My mouth was wired shut. And I had dabbled in restricting anyway, and that just kind of gave me license to lose as much weight as I could in 6 or 7 weeks. So my weight went up and down. I also started as early as 14. I was binging and purging. I had learned to do this from after school specials that really was trying to stop kids from doing it. But I that's where I first heard of it. And that's where I learned to do it. And the purging, I just figured, well, if I brushed my teeth afterwards, then I wouldn't be like them because my teeth wouldn't rot from the acid in my stomach. Crazy thinking, that's what we do. My eating continued through high school. When I graduated high school, I was at a period where I thought I got a car and I felt like freedom was, I could equate freedom to food for whatever reason. When I got my car, I just felt like that entitled me to go out and eat even more. So my freshman 15 was really more like a freshman 50. And this is where I started paying big dollars to lose money. I started with diet clubs. And at the time, I paid over $1,000, which was a lot of money for 1988, a college student. So I paid all of this money to lose weight in one of the diet clubs. And I got to within 5 pounds, you know, the story of my life, almost getting there. And then it was like, well, I'm almost to the end of the marathon, so I'll just quit now. And immediately the weight came back. It didn't take much time at all. The pattern continued. I would try, you know, in and out diet clubs into my 20s. I married my high school sweetheart at the age of 23, and I was at a decent weight. The pictures, I'm okay with the pictures. They look okay because there are periods when I weren't in any pictures at all. After our marriage, I did, my weight started to creep up, and then I was one of those FenFen people. Who a few years into the marriage, I used FenFen to lose weight. So that I could get pregnant. At that point, I was probably in the 190s. And I, you know, lost some weight, got pregnant. And that's when the trouble really started for me, because for me, I was just emotionally unprepared to live life as an adult. I thought it would be easier when I got out of my parents' house. I assumed I could excel in life because I had done well and everything else. But the truth is, I was not prepared for buckus. I didn't have any skills that would lead, other than eating. I didn't have any healthy skills that would lead me in down life and life's twists and turns in a healthy way. My first kid, who is 22 now, he had health issues from the beginning. He's gorgeous and a beautiful boy right now, by the way. I'm looking for a picture. I don't have it with me right now, but he was born with birthmarks on his face, had no idea what that was. 10 months later, we found out he had cancer, which is completely unrelated to the birthmark. So it was one health issue after another for my son. And we spent, like 4 days a week driving back and forth to Johns Hopkins Hospital, where they told me that they had never even seen this type of cancer before. And these are things that you don't want to hear, but how did I react? Eating. I gained far more weight after having that baby than I did when I was pregnant, because I couldn't deal with life. And I think really if he had been healthy, I wouldn't have been able to deal with life as an adult. Raising a kid and trying to navigate that and figure things out, because there's so many things that were triggered for me from my childhood that I just didn't know how to process these feelings. I had another son 2 years later, and the same thing. continued to happen, gaining weight. At some point, I got to, my top weight was around 270 pounds after having three kids. I tried desperately to lose the weight. Between child number, well, before I had kids, I found OA, regular OA, and it didn't work for me. It works for many people, but for me, I just didn't get it. I was picking and choosing when I wanted to do things, what I wanted to do. The structure wasn't in place for me, and I needed just more rules surrounding how to eat, what to eat, even when to eat, and even how to, and then using the other tools as well, how to work the tools. I have to say, what I noticed, the difference between the two programs is that people can recover in regular OA. And the people that do recover are the ones that are working the tools on a regular basis, not as I would cram it in, like right before I talked to my sponsor. So go a month without doing anything and then cram it in the day before. And it doesn't work that way for me. It just, my medicine is this program every day in small doses. So, but gratefully, I was led from regular OA to OA How from a local friend who had started the transition herself. I would call this local friend up and complain constantly about my husband. I considered him inadequate. My husband wasn't suited for me. It wasn't my fault. It was all him. And I would call this wonderful person up and talk about and complain to her. And she would read prayers for me. She'd read For Today for me. She would encourage me to go to OA How until one day she literally gave me the phone number for OA How. And I said, fine, that I'll take the phone number, but let me tell you one more thing that he did. And it was, I mean, it's humorous when I talk about it now, but that was a sick person that came into OA How. And when I did start into OA How, it was life-changing, as many of you know. I started working the program, and at first it was very difficult weighing and measuring food, figuring out everything. I made it very complicated, and it really doesn't have to be. But things got better. This road to recovery got easier. I didn't have to spend 5 hours a day in like figuring out my program. Things became more streamlined. I simplified things. I took others' advice and figured out what I needed to do versus what my family needs to do. Just things started to change and move in a better direction, and it was wonderful. And I lost the weight, but something happened. I fell off the wagon, and it took me a year and a half to get back on the wagon. And I can't tell you what struck me other than a miracle. But I woke up on January 2nd, 2011, after binging and purging the day before, because I had broke it one more time. And I just did, I think that's when I really fully realized the idea of the 24 hours a day. I don't have to do this forever. I'm just, am I committing? Can I commit to it to just for the next 24 hours? And I was able to do it in that respect, because I would play these stupid games in my head with, am I really going to do this in the nursing home? What would I do if I found out I was going to die in 2 weeks? Or it didn't matter what games I played in my head. What I realized was that needs to go to the side. And all I need to worry about is from the time that I wake up to the time that I put my head on the pillow, can I commit to just for today? And then tomorrow I'll make another decision. And so I started this little train, you know, of just not even a train. It was like the tiniest baby steps of just moving forward. And when we say you have to do whatever it takes, it can mean crazy things. And for me, that husband that I was complaining about, by the way, he was the one that recommended I go back to OA And he was the one that really supported me in my endeavors. It's truly a kind and gentle human being and person. He never had issues with my weight, no matter which direction it went. So it was very comforting and very supportive to have him in my corner. And I'm not sure, I think God would have let me in another way, but it was nice to have his support. Because I had small kids, and for me, my evenings were, 24/7 was my difficult time with the food. But when I finished my last meal of the day and I started having those cravings, I took advantage of going to bed. So at 7 o'clock at night, if it was tough for me in the kitchen, then I would leave. And I avoided places and things that I needed to avoid. Just like they talk about in the big book, you know, avoiding bars or anything like that. So I did take some measures in the beginning until I was able to move through it. I'm talking a lot about what I did, but I'd like to talk about more about the solution and what we have going on here with what our program is doing for us today. I've been weighing and measuring food in my cup since January 2nd, 2011, but I did reset my abstinence in September of last year. It was something that my sponsor and I agreed on and we talked about. I was weighing and measuring through that whole time, but I don't play around with this. And if I think I can cheat it, I will. And I know that about myself. So the numbers for me, it doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is that I'm here, I'm showing up, and I'm abstinent today. And I can give that to my family for the rest of the day. I have walked miles and miles in my program by doing those baby steps. And it wasn't easy. I always said, if I could do this, then there's nothing I can't do, because this was such a difficult thing. So when I did get the gift of abstinence, my life really started to churn and turn. The chatter in the head was minimized. Then I could start thinking about other things in my life. And some of that is healing from my past, and I work hard on that. And I work hard. I use the other tools in my program to grow as a human being. As well, I've blossomed in areas that I like. It's one of those things, before you do it, you don't know it before you know it. It's things I tell people, newcomers now that I talk to, that it's almost like there's, when you become abstinent, there are things that happen to you, and not just abstinent, but a recovery in this program. There are shades and colors that I didn't really know existed before that. And so my life is just this rich assortment of things, still full of issues and problems, right? We're all living through it right now, right? We all have our issues and problems. I don't want to sound like I'm preaching to everybody, but I'm just kind of really feeling passionate about this. But we have our...
Please stop.
It goes down. Sorry, I missed that. Please stop. Okay. Sorry, I'm getting my finger back. I'm able to cope better. So the kid in me that couldn't
Please
deal
stop.
With life. Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
I pass.
Thank you, Amy.
Thanks, Amy.
Thanks, Amy. Wonderful.
The floor is now open for 3-minute pitches, and we don't actually have enough time for pitches. But in OA How, we typically share our experience, strength, and hope through these pitches. So I want to thank you for allowing me to be your leader for this meeting. I also want to thank all those who participated, especially our speaker, Amy, who offered so much of herself. Thank you,
Thanks,
Amy.
Yay.
Thank you.
Woohoo, Amy.
May we please have the reading of Just for Today.
Okay, can you see me? Okay, here we go. Just for today, I will try to live through this day only and not tackle my whole life problem at once. I can do something for one day that would appall me if I felt I had to keep it up for a lifetime. Just for today, I will be happy. This assumes to be true what Abraham Lincoln said, that most folks are as happy as they make up their minds to be. Just for today, I will adjust myself to what is and not try to adjust everything to my own desires. I will take my luck as it comes and fit myself to it. Just for today, I will try to strengthen my mind. I will study. I will learn something useful. I will not be a mental loafer. I will read something that requires effort, thought, and concentration. Just for today, I will exercise my soul in three ways. I will do somebody a good turn and not get found out. If anyone knows of it, it will not count. I will do at least two things I don't want to do just for exercise. I will not show anyone that my feelings are hurt. They may be hurt, but today I will not show it. Just for today, I will be agreeable. I will look as well as I can, dress becomingly, talk low, act courteously, criticize not one bit, not find fault with anything, and not try to improve or regulate anybody except myself. Just for today, I will have a program. I may not follow it exactly, but I will have it. I will save myself from two pests, hurry and indecision. Just for today, I will have a quiet half hour all by myself and relax. During this half hour sometime, I will try to get a better perspective of my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. Especially, I will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and to believe that as I give to the world, so the world will give to me. Pass.
Thanks, Mary.
Thanks,
Mary.
Closing statement. To those who are still new to our program, we remind you that all that was said here today should safely remain here. Sorry, I missed a line. So we would also like to thank our skilled interpreters for helping us to reach even more people who struggle with this disease. Thank you.
Hey.
Now the closing statement. To those who are still new to the program, we remind you that all that was said here today should safely remain here as we respect and cherish our tradition of anonymity. We also assure you that following the program will get your weight off or on. Abstinence will remove the cravings. Our way of life will remove compulsion in time and give you contentment in all areas of your life. After a moment of meditation, will those who wish to, please join me in saying the Serenity Prayer. Those attending virtually, please unmute yourselves. Let's pray for those who are still suffering. Let's have a moment of silence for the still suffering compulsive overeater. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change
the things I can,
and the wisdom
to know the difference.
Know the difference.
Thy will,
not mine,
be done.
Be done. Coming back.
Back. It works when you
work it.
Give a lot of love.
Woo!
Thanks for coming, everyone.
Yes.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Sheila.
Thank you for
Have a good week.
Wow.
Take care.
Bye, everyone. Thank
you. Safe, everybody.
Yes.
Thank you, Amy Bye-bye. And Sheila, for your service.
Yes.
Thank you, Amy. Great
Thank
share.
You.
Thanks, Sheila, for leading.
Good night.